You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk and show number 341. Today is Sunday, July 10th, 2016, and my name is Hamilton. Curtis is on vacation somewhere this week, but I'm joined by Steve. Stevie, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am good. So we're going to mix it up a little bit, and I'm going to run point tonight. I know most of you are used to Stevie doing this. But if you don't like it or you have any complaints or issues, please let Kurt know. And before we get to it, remember, you can always find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. You can also find us at our relatively new home of blogtalkradio.com, where you can also find a wide range of other awesome podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and check out our Facebook page. And as always, please let people know about the show. If you know someone who's a Braves fan or a fan of awesome podcasts or both, tell them about Atlanta Baseball Talk. All right, Stevie. So on tonight's show, we'll talk about freaky injuries to the Braves, the future for Aroldis Vizcaino as a closer, and we'll go inside the numbers with Lucas Harrell, Dario Alvarez, and the resurgent Nick Markakis. But first, we have mercifully, or finally, or surprisingly to some of you who maybe have stopped following the team, we've reached the All-Star break. and the Braves are pretty much where a lot of us, not counting anyone who's actually employed by the Braves front office, thought they would be. To be precise, we are 31-58. We have the most losses of any team in Major League Baseball, and we're close to the Reds and the Twins for being just overall the worst team. We're projected right now to go 60-132, so it doesn't look good for us, and we knew that. Let's drill into the numbers a bit, and then Stevie, just sort of tell me, you know, where are your thoughts on this? But just to make sure you're as depressed as possible, let's start with the offense. So, not counting today's game, which was great, we are last in the majors in runs scored at 305. We are 25th in hits, but last in batting average at a scorching 237. Actually tied with the Reds there going into today. A depressing number. We're last in homers. We have 53 total. And we're actually 22 behind the next worst team, which is the Giants. And the distance between us and the Giants is the same distance between the Giants, who are 29th, and the Reds, who are 18th. So
That's bad.
Yes, thank you for your insightful analysis there. And you know, another huge gap between us and just the rest of the field. We're last in OPS at 648, which is 40 points lower than the 29th place team, the Phillies. Boo. But the gap between us and the Phillies at 29th is the same as the gap between them and the 20th placed Rays. So we're just – we ain't getting it done at the plate. You know, granted, we've been better as of late – and we did face some very good pitching early on, but still, it's not like we're playing different teams than anyone else is, so it's bad. You know, the pitching is better, though. We're 17th in team ERA at 437. We're 18th in quality starts with 38, which sort of surprising. I think we all thought coming in with all this young pitching that we wouldn't get a ton of quality starts, and we were worried about the bullpen, but we're not as bad as it could be. We're 13th in batting average against. So, we're middle of the pack, and, you know, I think it highlights how much of a liability the offense is. I think it speaks to the angina that was created with the draft strategy and just getting more pitching, although I understand that strategy. On the flip side, it reinforces how significant it was to sign Maitán, which you and Kurt covered last week. So, Stevie, what are your thoughts on the team? Are you surprised? Are you disappointed? How are you feeling about the team going into the All-Star break?
Yeah, I've got that 132 number is so big and awful. I don't think that we will lose at the pace we lost at the beginning of the season just mm-hmm. because the offense is a little better now. You know, Ibar is not a complete black hole. Chase Darnot and Jace Peterson, some guys have emerged and are better than things were at the start. But, I think the biggest thing is we're a long ways off.
Yeah.
You know, we're a long ways off. There's a couple bright spots. I think the brightest is Freddie, who's had this huge resurgence. I don't know if you saw this, but it was uncovered this week that he was injured a month ago after colliding into Christian Yelich in one of the, I guess it'd be a Marlins series. And he had hurt his ribs. And hopefully that like explains his second slump, because since he's sort of gotten healthy from that, I mean, he's just been destroying the ball.
An all-star.
Yeah, he's been. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And on pace to hit 30 home runs, which he has not ever done in his career.
Well, and we'll get to this when we start handing out some awards, but he's on pace to have his best offensive season ever.
And which is really remarkable given the two slumps.
Given the two slumps and given that it's all on him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's no reason to pitch to him, and yet he's still hitting.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, his strikeouts are up, so he's on a career pace for that as well, but who cares? Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, I would love if we lose 132, it means we win 60 games. It would really hurt, even though I've written off this season, to win 59 or fewer. To win in the 50s would just it's bad. And you know, but the thing I take heart in is that I don't really, you know, other than Freeman, I mean, in some of the young pitchers we're seeing, Whistler, Folty, like I don't think Darnot is part of the future, Schneider. You know, I'm not even sure Jace Peterson is. I mean, so I feel like we are so much still a work in progress, and we are still very much at that inflection point that I don't, you know, I don't see a lot of the team that I think we're going to see in 2018 on the field today.
Absolutely. Folty, Whistler, hopefully, although Whistler's become a little concerning recently. Mm-hmm. Tehran, you know, Inciarte. That really could be it. I mean, Markakis will be gone. Adonis is not the third baseman of the future.
No.
Our middle infield is coming. Jace, we clearly have more with Jace than we thought we did, but I don't know what his future is.
Well, I mean, he would have to be lights out because with Albies and Swanson coming, there's no place for him, right?
Right, unless he becomes the left fielder or something, or the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Malik's go, and yeah. We don't really know what we have with Malik's.
Yeah, although I mean he could be part of it, and he certainly has shown promise. But there's still a long way to go before he's the center fielder on a World Series team.
Yeah, but thankfully the team is likable. You know, it's a likable bunch of guys. I mean, it's much more likable than the '96 win team a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, I mean Michael Bourne was bad on the team. Melvin, who is like one of the best players in baseball now, which is just,
isn't that insane?
Vomit inducing. I mean, I agree. I love the character of this team. I love how much they're cheering and fighting and sort of supporting each other. So it's great. But we got a long way to go. I think anybody who's thinking we're opening 2017 at SunTrust contending.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's going to happen in the offseason for that to even be in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. All right, well, let's, Stevie, let's hand out some awards and let's make some predictions for the second half. But before we do that, let's take a quick break. All right, so let's hand out some awards for the first half and whatever the opposite of an award is, some demerits or
sure.
The golden toilet maybe for some of some of these things. And so I think we're going to revisit a player we just talked about, and the most obvious category is the MVP. So, Stevie, for the Braves for the first half of the season, who is your MVP?
Yeah, it's got to be Freddie.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he's the engine of the offense. There's no one even close. When he's not in the lineup, I mean, it's just a joke, this lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And Curtis had the same thing. I mean, he's like you mentioned, he's already hit 16 homers. His single-season record is 23, which feels light, but that's according to Baseball Reference. His most homers in a season, you know, his slash line is 286, 371, 517. Those are all close to career numbers for him. He's on a record strikeout pace. Who cares? I just can't even imagine how bad the offense would be without him. I don't even want to imagine it. So it's clear he's our MVP. And I don't think there's a close second. You know,
no, I agree.
There's no one you could even talk about.
There's some great surprises and some, you know, spark plugs and stuff, but it's not even, no one's in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's turn to the diamond or the mound and look at pitching. So for the first half of the season so far, Stevie, who is your Cy Young winner for the Braves?
Well, to me, it's got to be Tehran. I mean, lowest ERA, lowest FIP, highest WAR. And the only thing I'd say damning him with fan praise is damning him with faint praise, that is that
– or fan praises.
Or fan praises.
You can damn him with those. Those are equally damning. Yes.
Like he better be the Cy Young Award winner the first half. I mean, it's him and a bunch of, you know, aging veterans and rookies. I mean, like, thank God he was good enough for us to for it to be a slam dunk, you know?
Yeah, and he's having his best year in a lot of – I mean, you mentioned this. His whip is below one, which is nuts. So he's third behind Kershaw and Scherzer with like a 0.96 whip. He's giving up less than seven hits per nine innings, which is a career best for him. He's a little dork stat number here, which Curtis is not here, so he can just – whatever, eat it. His ERA plus, which is the league average ERA divided by his ERA and then adjusted for ballparks pitched in, is 139, which is also a career high for him. So he is having the best career of his season, and his win-loss record doesn't show it. It's really a shame. You know, I mean, he is allowing 1.2 homers per nine, which is also the worst of his career, so he hasn't solved that yet. He's still, you know, subject to the long ball. But he is our most valuable pitcher. I think he's our second most valuable player on the team and definitely our Cy Young. And Curtis had the same as well. So for our MVP and our Cy Youngs for the first half of the season, all in alignment there. So let's mix it up a little bit. You mentioned this. Who is your most surprising player for the season so far?
Yeah, so I have a tie, and I'm going with Chase and Jace.
Whoa.
Not just because their names rhyme.
Good rap duo.
Yeah. I mean, so Chase... I mean, I think it's a bit obvious because no one expected anything from Chase d'Arnaud, and he's really one of the most dynamic players on the field right now. He's playing a bunch of infield. He plays the out. I mean, he's playing center and left along with short and second, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's all over the field, and he's hitting. I mean, it's like total – everything is total gravy with Chase. It's really been fantastic. And then Jace, you know, before he was sent down, he was slashing 182, 260, 205. Since he returned, and it doesn't count today with his homer and his single. I know he had those on a walk. He's slashing 310, 375, 460. I mean, he's OPSing in the 800s.
Yeah.
Jace Peterson. I mean, he is – just hitting the ball, man. So, yeah, to me, those guys are the biggest surprise.
Yeah, you know, I definitely considered those guys. I worry that we're having a little bit of it's not Stockholm syndrome, but where your players are so bad that you start to think that Chase d'Arnaud is actually really, really good and should be an all-star. And I'm not condemning. He has been such a great surprise, and thank God for him.
Yeah,
because Freddie can't play every position. You know, another one for me, and he's been injured, but and Curtis had the same one. And maybe because he went to our high school. Gordon Beckham, he's been amazing so far. He's, his line is 290, 387, 458, which is career years on all of those stats for him. He's got a little bit of power. He's clutch. He's been great. He's 30, so he's not a youngster, but he could be a part of the future, maybe, as a utility guy. You know,
the injuries are the big concern for me. He's missed 50 games.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, man. When he's on the field, he's been terrific. And he's playing good defense, too.
He really is. And I think that, you know, he was so highly touted coming out of Georgia. And that never materialized for him in Chicago. And I think it's a bit surprising that it's actually clicking for him now. And it would be great if he was on the field more. But he has been a surprise. And I wish, you know, it'd be great if he could continue to do that. I have to throw an honorable mention to Malik Smith. I didn't think he would do as well. I know that he's struggled at times. And Tyler Flowers as well has been a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, no doubt.
And even Frenchie. You know, I wish he had a little bit more power, but I thought he was going to be a train wreck, and he wasn't. So I guess that's a surprise. All right. I guess that's damning with faint praise, I think. Is the
I think that's how you really define that. And say it.
Yes, exactly. All right, so let's flip the script a little bit here and do two disappointing awards. So the Golden Toilet Award, Stevie, for you, for the most disappointing player so far this season.
I'll go with Ibar.
Yeah.
I mean, pre-chicken bone incident, which we'll talk about more in the show, strangely, he was slashing 182, 225, 209. And on top of that, looked 100 years old in the field.
Yeah.
I mean, had no range, was just dreadful. But, you know, basically not fulfilling anything we were promised and what you had seen in his career when he came here. Now, in fairness, he has slashed 271, 340, 376 since he returned from the DL. But still, I mean, he was just he was one of the worst offensive regulars in all of baseball before he went to the DL.
Him and Jace both. Yeah, absolutely. And his errors, you know, he's got 8 errors, which is not completely out of whack for what he's done before. I mean, he did win a Gold Glove recent, like 3 or 4 years ago, I believe. But it feels like a large part of them have been costly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, he was the one who was supposed to sort of dampen the blow to the Angelton trade in the short term. And that has not happened at all. You know, I actually went and saw the Sox play the Angels on last Friday night, and seeing Angelton playing, it made me very wistful for him. Just the ease, everything seemed so easy. All the balls that were hit to him, the zip that went to first, I did miss him. I did not miss the weak pops to the outfield.
I was going to say the hitting didn't seem
the
so
hitting.
Easy.
I did not miss that, but I did miss him, and just seeing him, I don't know. It was good to see him. I continue to wish him well.
Sure.
So I think we're all in agreement there that the Admiral has been the biggest disappointment so far. And then what about? So let's look at just moments this season. So the highlights and the lowlights, and since we're sort of on a negative bent here, let's start with a lowlight. So Curtis said it was the sweep at the hand of the Brewers, which is certainly a fantastic candidate for the low point of the season. But
what was Kurt's most disappointing player? Was it Ibar?
It was
as
Ibar
well?
As well.
Yeah. Oh, well, yep. Okay. Yeah.
Curtis and I have agreed on everything so far, which makes it good that he's not on the show. So, all right. So, Stevie, what do you got?
Yeah, my least favorite moment of the season was Malik breaking his thumb. Because it was – Malik was starting to figure it out. He was starting, you know, to be able to steal bases and use his speed. He was hitting the ball. Yeah, I wanted to see Malik for a full season. So that was a real bummer. And I wanted to have a shout out also. 1A, least favorite moment, was the first game of the season when AJ dropped that throw at the plate. That would have gotten that guy out by 10 feet and we would have beaten the Nats. Won the first game. I mean, it's why
completely we've, different it's, season.
Exactly. It's why we're on pace for 132.
Right. If only for that. Thanks, AJ. You know, I mean, those are all painful memories. For me, it was the 3-game sweep at the hands of the Diamondbacks at home, because it was right when we had sort of gotten a little momentum and we were supposed to be better than them. They were another bad team.
Right.
And they came in and they swept us, and they were painful. Painful losses, and they're playing the Giants right now. They're the worst team in the West. You know, Brewers are the worst team in the Central. So it's, you know, if you can't beat the worst teams, you certainly can't beat the best team. So that was painful. Honorable mention of the sweep by the Dodgers in LA.
Yeah.
And then the recent sweep by the Phillies, which I was really hoping we would win.
That was
at least
bad.
One game. And then that the blown save by Vizcaino. Anyway, let's turn it around, Stevie. So what are some of your favorite moments of the season? I'm going to save Curtis's for last because his is so Curtis, but you go first.
All right. So mine was the emergency start that Williams Perez made that day in May when Chacin got traded. I'm pretty sure that's why it was. And I had tickets that night. Me and my kids had tickets, and I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Williams Perez is driving down from Gwinnett, and I get to see him throw 5 1/3 and give up 4 runs. And all he did was, like, do his best Greg Maddux impression that night. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, like 8
but
and
it
third,
was,
something like
yeah,
that.
It was 8 innings, 1 earned, no walks, 4 strikeouts. The game was, like, 2 hours and 40 minutes. You know,
it was
Maddux-like in that way, too. I mean, it was an absolute thing of beauty. And my runner-up is Maddux's first home run, which was at Citi Field, where, you know, he barely makes it to third, almost gets thrown out of third, but then they do a review and they see that it hit above the yellow stripe on the wall.
Yep.
And he got to slowly trot home for his first homer of the year. It was just, the whole thing was neat. I just loved that moment.
Yeah, and I'm going to build off of that because my favorite moments of the season is every single win against the Mets. Like, we've looked... That's the only time we've looked good. I mean, we've looked like a real competitive baseball team. Two of my favorite moments all season, there was the NCRT game where he...
Oh, the deke?
He got the... he turned a single into a double just by hustling. And
right.
Then Granderson sort of dogged it a little bit on the throw-in, so he tagged up from second and got to third. And then he scored from third on a wild pitch, and that was the winning run. And then there was the Bonifacio game where Bonifacio was errantly called out at home, or erroneously, I guess. And then Adonis came back and won it with a two-run homer to sort of make up for it. And the team went crazy. It was – those two games were the most pumped I've seen. The team, which gets me so excited. So any game against the Mets is always a good win, but this season they've been even sweeter. And then there was the one-hit shutout by Teherán against DeGrom.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just some – we've looked our best against the Mets. And for Curtis, it was when we fired Freddie.
I toyed with that. Yeah. I actually, you know, I toyed with that, but it also was one of my least favorite moments of the season, too, just with how poorly it was handled and how it was 2 years too late.
Yeah.
And, you know, his getting that email from Delta, just all that stuff.
Yeah, I took
I took no joy in it either.
No satisfaction. But Curtis did, of course, because he's Curtis. Hmm. All right, so let's look ahead, Stevie, to the second half, and let's do some quick bets on what we think may happen. So first of all, which three players do you think will have the most homers in the second half of the season?
All right, so Freddie's the easy one.
Yep.
I'll go Flowers and Jace.
Jace, okay. All right, all right. I'm going to allow that. I'm going to actually write this down so I can rub it in your face when you're wrong. So Curtis had Freeman as well. He went with Garcia and Flowers. And I actually, because I'm even crazier than you, I think the Markakis thing is no fluke, and Gordon Beckham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're still going to be atrocious and have very few homers. So it ain't, you know. Don't make a spot in the home run derby just yet, but that's who I think. All right, so how about pitching? So which pitcher do you think will have the most wins in the second half?
I'll go Fulte. Ah, Fulte was so dominant today. I mean, we don't have a lot of space in the show to talk about him, but this was one of his best starts of his career.
Yeah.
You know, and remember, he came back. You know, he was going to have two or three rehab starts, but then Gant and – everyone started going down and he had to come in early. So really his first two starts back from the DL, I mean, he was kind of still rounding into shape, but he had everything working today. And in that tiny park where, you know, the home run, where the Braves actually hit home runs.
Yeah.
That's how small the park is.
Right.
He was just, I mean, he was amazing today. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a couple of those starts this year. When he is on, he is dominant. I mean, he's an exciting part of the future. You know, you were right in saying that Whistler has sort of lost his way, but I believe in him, and I'm hoping this sort of the All-Star break and a chance to sort of regroup, that he comes back and gets some wins. So I'm going to go with Whistler. But, of course, this is a relative stat. Let's hope that the winner has closer to 7 to 8 wins than 2 to 3 wins, right?
Yeah,
so,
yes.
But it's exciting. It's exciting. So here's earth-shattering question here. Which three Braves are most likely to be traded before the deadline?
I'm shattered by this, Sammy. okay, so I'm going Jim Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Ibar.
Yep.
And Markakis.
Oh. Interesting.
Now, Vizzy, if you'd asked me this a week and a half ago, Vizzy would have been first for me. But I don't know if that's happening anymore.
I'm afraid he's lost some value. I agree. I think Markakis, I don't think he has value to another. I don't know. I feel like we would get quarters on the dollar trading Markakis. I hope we don't trade Markakis. So for me, this is my second half shot in the dark. I think Teherán, Vizzy, and Ibar are packaged together in a mega trade involving more than one team.
Oh, are the Red Sox one of those teams?
They are.
Yeah.
Because right
now
they're –
it would be crazy if Teherán gets traded.
Well, and that's the exact quote from the Red Sox, is that the demands for Teherán and Vizcaíno are crazy right now. But, you know, it's competitive. And, let's see what happens as we get closer to the trade deadline. So I think those are the three. I don't know if I want it. But, you know, Teherán has come down to earth a little bit. Even though, yep, we did talk about him being our Cy Young winner, neither one of us picked him as our wins leader for the second half. I don't know.
And the Cubs all of a sudden have no pitching.
Yes.
I mean, like, I'm kind of kidding, but kind of not kidding.
Well, I mean, they're getting, you know, they're happy to get 6 innings from John Lackey giving up 4 runs, which, yeah, happened today, and they got a win. I mean, they snapped their streak, but still, yes. All right, so let's be optimistic here, Stevie. How many MLB games, so pro games, will Albies and Swanson play combined? So not together necessarily, but total games played by both of them at the major league level.
All right, I'm going to give you more than you asked for, Hammy.
Okay, as you'd like to do.
Sure. They are going to both make their debut on Tuesday, August 2nd in Atlanta.
Whoa.
So that leaves 55 games left in the season. They are going to play a combined 80.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Or I'm completely wrong. And their September call-ups.
both are in play, yes. So Curtis is going to probably laugh at you the most for that one. He said zero. He thinks we don't see those guys this year. I think we see 25 combined. I think they both play 10 to 12 games.
September as well. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Right. So that's where I am. I'm hedging a little bit.
That's fine. But I'm ordering my August 2nd tickets after we finish recording.
And your Albies
jersey. So I can be there.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So there's your second half shot in the dark. That seems a bit bold. All right. So Braves record in the second half. What do you think that's going to be? So I think we have 73 games.
Correct. Yes. 73 games. I've got them going 32 and 41.
All right. So Curtis and I agreed on this as well. We both think 30 and 43.
Okay.
So about the same. I think that
so we're at what? How many losses do we have now?
62.
So if we're right, let's call it 43. So that's 100. It's only 105.
I'm sorry, 58. Losses. 58. I'm sorry.
Oh, 58. And if my 41 is right, they don't even have 100 losses, which I feel would be a moral victory.
Yeah. So if you said 32.
32 and 41.
Yeah. So they'd be 63 and 99.
Yeah.
So that would be a moral victory.
Seriously, man, let's keep in double-digit losses.
Let's. All right. So, and then finally, true or false, the Braves will end up with the number one draft pick by the end of the season.
False. We're going to have the third pick. The Twins are going to be one, and the Rays are going to be two.
The Rays or the Reds?
The Rays. Whoa. The Rays are only like three losses better than us right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad teams out there.
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there always is, but it seems like – so I – Curtis and I agreed on this one as well. I'll stop saying – this is the last time I'll say this. Both true. I think that we're not good enough. I think we've even been playing above our heads these past couple –
So you think we end up with the worst record in baseball?
I think we end up with the worst record in baseball, and we get the number one pick.
All right.
And that will be the one takeaway from this season.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's play a little fair or foul. Let's go inside the numbers, but before we do that, Stevie, let's take a quick break. All right, it's time for fair or foul, where I throw something out there and you agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. And let's start with a sort of a news of the weird type fair or foul. So Julio was scratched from his start on Wednesday because he had an infection in his right thigh. It turns out that the infection was a result of an ingrown hair that he had for a while. And quick side note, for those of you who like articles that include the word lance and pustule, I encourage you to Google Tehran and ingrown hair. So that's that. But this comes on, you know, somewhat on the heels of a May incident, the chicken bone incident you referenced earlier, where the admiral complained to trainers that his throat was hurting. So they sedated him and they found a chicken bone in his throat.
Yeah. No, that's going to make your throat hurt.
I guess. How could it not? And it reminds me of the Kentucky Fried Chicken, where they freak out that he ate the bones. Remember that commercial? I always laugh at that commercial. So anyway, Stevie, fair or foul, in the news of the weird, Tehran's ingrown hair infection is crazier than Ibar's chicken bone.
So I thought a lot about this. Like, Ham, if you and I were sitting down and writing a comedy bit, we would go with the chicken bone. Because that's funny.
Yeah.
Like a chicken bone stuck in your throat is funny. But like when I stand back and really look at this grown man who's surrounded by like a full medical staff, that he let this thing that must have been, you know, the size of a half dollar on his leg, right? That was so bad they had to miss a start.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, I can, like, you know, you're eating some fried chicken fast and the, but, you know, I guess, you know, it could happen. But I just don't get that you let this thing go so bad that you miss a day's work because of it. So I'm going with
fair.
Yeah, I'm going with fair, that the ingrown hair is crazier.
All right. So for me, the loss of Tayron is worse, obviously. I mean, just the impact of the team is much worse than Ibar's. I can't get over the fact that you don't know you have a chicken bone in your throat.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
The way that you just said, you know, you're eating chicken really fast and then just a bone gets stuck in your throat. Then you head on to the ballpark. And you're like, I got my throat hurts. It's just crazy. It's crazy. And I think, you know, in time, the Tayron one will get forgotten about more. I feel like the chicken bone incident will live on in infamy. I mean, it even has a better, you know, title to it. It's more whatever, Hollywood friendly. So I'm going to say foul. I think Tayron's is bad, but not as crazy as Ibar's.
Okay. All right.
But it's close. It's close. And at least we'll have both to remember this season by. All right, so Stevie, let's get a little more serious here. So since June 6th, Erodus Vizcaino, I'm just going to call him Vizzy from now on because that's what you like to call him, has four saves. He also has two blown save losses and two straight-up losses. So obviously he isn't, you know, all season he hasn't been getting the number of opportunities to be a top-of-the-league closer. And certainly he has shown flashes of having great stuff, but recently, so fair or foul. Looking ahead, Vizzy once again becomes the go-to closer before the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten real bad real quick for Vizzy. I mean, in his last four appearances, which are 3 1/3 innings, four earned, six hits, six walks, homer. Yeah, the walks. I mean, there was a couple games in a row, particularly I remember the Cleveland game, where he walked like the first two guys that he saw. I mean, it was just became a train wreck. Only two strikeouts in those four appearances. But if my prediction's right, Jim Johnson's going to be gone, who got the save opportunity today. They clearly have lost faith in Vizcaino, and rightfully so. I mean, it's gotten ugly. But if Johnson's gone, Shea Simmons is still a ways off. Mm-hmm. Cabrera and his 102-mile-an-hour fastball I don't think it's consistent enough yet. So I'm going to go fair. He will get the opportunity again and regain the go-to closer role.
Alvarez, not the guy for you. We'll talk to you about him in a bit.
Yeah, I just don't think – I think he's more of a seventh, eighth inning guy. Yeah.
And O'Flaherty's soon to be back as well, which is promising. But he is not a closer as well. Yeah, I showed my hand here. I don't think Vizcaino is going to be around long enough. I do think that they go back to him. I don't think they have an option. I mean, he's had a bad stretch. I think that in the short term, he will get more opportunities. But I think he's gone before too long. I do think by the end of the season, he will still have the most saves of anybody on the team. Mm. So I guess fair, he will be the go-to closer again, but it will be short-lived.
Okay.
All right, so let's do a quick look inside the numbers here, Stevie, and let's start with Lucas Harrell, otherwise known as who? So for those of you who don't know, he pitches for the Braves now. He was an ex-White Sox. I think he came up with the Sox, and then he also pitched for Houston. So from 2010 to 2014 – with pitching 400 innings or over 400 innings, he went 18-33 with a 4.84 ERA, and all the other stats are in line with that type of pitcher. But you fast forward to this year, in two starts, he's 1-0 with a 1.32 ERA, is a 0.7 something WHIP, and just awesome stuff. So Stevie, you know, what do you make of this? What do you think Harrell means to the team now?
I don't know. He was great in his first start and even better this week against the Cubs. I mean, at Wrigley, against that mighty offense, he was brilliant.
Brilliant.
You know, brilliant. So, look, you know, part of me is like, oh, man, all of a sudden he's a piece and he's part of the future. And, you know, who knows? I mean, this guy has never shown anything like this. But maybe he's figured it out and he's a nice trade piece to go along with, you know, Tehran and Vizcaino for Mike Trout.
Exactly. It's going to happen.
But I think I want to see him pitch more. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is nice, but not sustainable. There's no reason to think it is. But I do hope he gets a few more starts and he keeps these numbers up for a little bit and we get something for him. I think that's the best we can hope for with him. All right, so our second one, and I just mentioned him, let's take a look at Dario Alvarez. So he's pitched 9 1/3 innings at the big league level this year. He's given up one run on a homer to Kelly Johnson, for those of you who are keeping track of that. So he's got a 0.93 ERA. He's given up 6 hits, 4 walks, 2 of those intentional. But the crazy number for him is he has struck out 22 batters in 9 1/3. So that's over 2 strikeouts per inning. Crazy. So, Stevie, thoughts on Dario?
Well, it's just great. It's just a great move by the front office. The guy was DFA'd by the Mets, made it through waivers. We picked him up, right? So he's super cheap.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, he's become like this mainstay in the bullpen. I mean, thank God for him.
Yeah.
He's been great. He's been absolutely great. Love it.
And he's 27.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young kid, so who knows? Maybe he is a part of the future. I mean, certainly he's got value. It's so weird to talk about every player as what could we get for them and not even have any kind of emotional attachment to him. But, you know, it is what it is.
But there are so many spots in the bullpen. I mean, just think about how much the bullpen has to be rebuilt for next year. And you're right. I mean, he could be a piece for sure.
And, you know, you need a lot of good bullpen pieces to win a championship. Look at the Royals. You know, I mean, they just had 3 shutdown guys and a lot of good middle relievers and good start. You need it. So who knows? But it's exciting now to have him on the team. So finally, our last look inside the numbers, your boy Nick Markakis. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's Bonifacio. I get them confused. Your boy. So anyway, since June 1st, Nick is hitting .274, .312, .411 with a Titan-like 4 home runs, which I'm pretty sure is as many as he's hit as he did in his entire Braves career up to that point. Anyway, he feels like he might have figured something out. You know, obviously he's had sort of a power burst here. I can only hope so because, like I said earlier, I don't think we're going to trade him for a better bat or anything. And if our offense is going to continue just to try to turn things around and keep up with the pitching, he's got to be a part of it. It can't be all Freddie. Any thoughts on that? And Markakis, you think he's gone?
I think he's gone. I think he is showing that he is a professional hitter, as they like to say, right? And he's got a little more pop back. He's brought his average up. He's the RBI leader on the team. And if you're the Braves, I think that you trade him to save the money, right? I mean, Markakis, do you really want Markakis in right field, Hammy, the next 2 years? If free agency or trade with, you know, some more of that freed up money could bring you someone who's not, you know, 47 years old and on the back end of his career. I mean, Markakis has been nice and he's provided some stability, I guess. But, you know, on pace for 132 losses, like, what does it matter? Let's clear some payroll and get something.
You think it's real, this sort of resurgence?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He seems just more confident and stuff. But I agree. It's a tough call. As a fan, you give up so much, and you're going to get maybe one player you've heard of, two prospects you've never heard of. You need 10 prospects to turn into one major league player.
That's the thing. I mean, you're getting a prospect in the low teens for Nick Markakis. It's not really what you're getting back. Yeah. It's really making space and clearing salary.
Yeah, and that, for me, I mean, obviously, you take him off the payroll, it gives you more payroll. I don't trust the front office to actually buy into any of that yet. Like, oh, you're going to clear up space, so all of a sudden they're going to go out and sign somebody big. I mean, I know that's how it works. There's so many questions around the payroll and that, you know, the Braves are now a real estate team and they're all this new money that's just going to come flowing in from the new stadium, from all the parking.
Yeah, exactly.
it's just I have a hard time investing in that strategy. So when you say – I mean that's obviously an option. I get that. But it's hard for me to get behind that and get excited by freeing up salary. Anyway. All right, Stevie. So in just a bit, we're going to do our shots in the dark. But first, I want to share a word from our friends at Fan Essentials. So, lovable listeners, how would you like to get all of your favorite Major League Baseball team's merchandise delivered straight to your doorstop? If so, check out fanessentials.net. So all you do is you pick your favorite sports team. We all know who that is. And every month, you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea. And prices are – they start at just $34.99 for a package. And that's a great price. I said I was at Fenway last week. And I was with my kids, and they wanted gear, and it is outrageously expensive at the stadium. Outrageous. So that's a great deal. Anyway, visit fanessentials.net, and if you use the promo code ABTSITD, ABTSITD, at checkout, you get 30% off for your first month. So visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. Okay, Stevie, let's do shots in the dark here. This is our crazy predictions for the week ahead. And before we look ahead, let's take a look back at our predictions for the previous week. And we'll start with our listener. Our listener submitted shot in the dark came from Spencer Edens. And he said, and this was a good one. Oh, he was so close.
It was very exciting. It was really exciting following it that night.
It wasn't. Like, there were a lot of people on Twitter who were like, it was like maybe the most exciting part of the week. He said that the Braves would score more runs against Chris Sale than any other starter this week, but they would still lose the game against Sale. And Spencer, you were so close. But not close enough, as the Braves let you down by winning the game 11-8.
God, can the Braves do anything right?
I know, seriously. Just disappointing fans left and right. So unfortunately, it was sort of a yes or no shot in the dark, and you weren't close enough, Spencer, but excellent try, and thanks for the fun ride. So now let's look at ours. Not so good. So I predicted that Tyler Flowers would have two homers this week. He had one before leaving yesterday's game early with a strained right hand. Heal well, Tyler, before Tehran's next start.
Because I cannot take that much AJ. I just can't.
Well, especially with Tehran starting. We just cannot have that. So right. I'm sure he would have hit a home run today if he had been in the game. But alas, he had one. Kurt predicted that Jace, and Kurt was even more on Jace than you are, that he would have 15 hits with one homer and six RBIs. Counting today's game, he did have one homer.
Yeah,
which sadly accounted for his one RBI of the week and only five hits. So no. And Stevie,
the farthest off,
boldly predicted that Vizcaino would bounce back with four saves this week. And unless a blown save counts as four saves in your fantasy league, no. He had the blown save against the Phillies, and we haven't seen him since then. So no.
Now, Ham, are you sure that a blown save plus a demotion doesn't equal four saves?
I was told there'd be no math.
Okay.
I need to go to Baseball Prospectus. I don't think so. So why don't we go ahead and say that we're all big losers for the week?
Yeah.
But we're all winners in the fact that the drama continues to build as we see who will win both June and July.
Right now, we're
zeros across the board for July.
Man. All right.
All right. Let's turn it around right here, Stevie. So let's look ahead to the All-Star Week. One game on Tuesday with all your favorite players and then a three-game series against the Rockies. Curtis predicted, and his was for the All-Star Game, that no Cub will have a hit in the All-Star Game.
That's a tough one.
That's out there. That's out there. And it's weird because now all of a sudden I want the Cubs to have hits because I want the National League to win. So, you know, when the Braves turn it around, they have home field advantage.
And I want to have the Cubs get hits because I want to win shot in the dark.
Oh. That's right. Okay, well, speaking of, Stevie, what are you coming with this week for shots in the dark?
All right, I got, in support of my Ibars getting traded, Ibar hits two home runs in this All-Star game shortened week. So in the Rockies series this coming weekend, Ibar has two home runs.
For a second, I thought you were so delusional that you thought he was in the All-Star game. you do know those games are at home, not in Coors Field.
I know.
All right. I just want to make sure. You can change it. You can still change it. All right.
No.
So mine is somewhat off the field, but I predict that the Home Run Derby will have the lowest number of viewers since 2003, when they had 5.2 million viewers. I'm thinking that the shark has jumped, or the Home Run Derby has jumped the shark, whatever that is. So that's what I have, lowest number of viewers since 2003. All right, so those are our predictions for the week ahead. Now, for all of you listeners out there, get your shots in the dark in, and we're going to make it interesting. So get your shots in the dark in before Tuesday, so you can either have a shot in the dark about the All-Star game, or you can have it about the Colorado series. When you do, make sure you use the hashtag ABTSITD. You can use Twitter or Facebook, and like I said, to make it exciting, if we pick yours, you will actually win a prize package from our friends at Fan Essentials. So make it good and get them in by Tuesday, and you'll win a prize from Fan Essentials. All right. Let's close it up, Stevie, by looking at that series with the first of all, prediction for the All-Star game.
Oh, gosh, I hadn't thought about it. Well, I mean, the National League's going to win. They're going to win 5-4.
Yep. I think so, too. I just think they have better pitching. I mean, after seeing Sale get destroyed, I think I know we don't have Kershaw, but I think the National League will win. It's weird to say we.
Do you think Julio sees any playing time?
I bet he does.
I bet he doesn't. Side bet.
Okay. I hope he doesn't, because I want him to be ready for the Rockies.
Yeah, really.
So looking back at before we predict the predictions for the win-loss of next week, let's look back at last week. Kurt and I predicted that we would go 2-5. Stevie, you, ever the optimist, Homer, predicted 4-3. All wrong. Again, we went 3-4.
Yeah.
So, all right, so there's no pitching matchup. So you mentioned this because maybe this was offline. Without knowing if Tehran pitches or not, we're not really sure how it's going to shake up for the Rockies. So there's no starting pitchers announced for either side. We don't know how his quarter-sized pustule is going to do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sure.
Had to get that in.
But let's assume, Hammy, that Tehran doesn't pitch. Okay. Wouldn't you think it will be Tehran, Whistler, Folty? I mean, aren't they going to start setting up, you know, Tehran, Whistler, Folty, Harrell, and I don't know who. I mean, De La Cruz is out now.
Yeah, that experiment didn't work.
No, that didn't go so good. But and Gant and Perez are not close. But I think it'll go. You know, it should go that way.
Is Casey Kelly still on the team?
Yeah, I think so. He may be that fifth starter now.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, that's sort of an exciting top three.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, it was our last three this weekend. You know, it went Tehran, Whistler, Folty. Now, Folty lived up to it. The other two didn't so much.
Yeah.
But no, I like that three. I mean, I like that three a lot.
Yeah. And let's hope that Flowers, the strained hand, the MRI is negative and he's back. All right, so we don't know the pitchers. We do know the Rockies are third in the NL West. They're 40-47. Pretty pedestrian on both sides of the diamond. So, Stevie, with that deep intel in mind, what's your prediction for next week?
2-1, baby.
All right. For once, you are aligned with Curtis. I predict we sweep the Rockies.
Oh, look at you.
You will. Look at me. It feels weird being all optimistic. I don't know how you do it. All right, folks. Well, that is the show. Curtis, we missed you, but we're wrapping up here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember that you can always find us at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com, where you can find past shows, read our blog, and post comments in the comment section. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. So thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.